Scott and I are going to get along great. But Scott preaches self-sufficiency. So without further ado, as Sandy Clough and Orlando Franklin continue here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan, we bring in Troy Reich, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. All right, Troy, lots to get to. I'll ask you a general question right out of the box. What's your assessment of what the Broncos have done this week and the implications as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, it's been a fascinating week with John Elway stepping down, moving into a consulting role. Could it be just for the 1 year? Joel is done at the March of 2022, the possibility of ownership change or one of the siblings taking over. It's a lot. And in all that, they're trying to add a fresh set of eyes at general manager, which is needed, frankly. I think we can all agree with that. And how does that person have independence and authority? Will it be enough to impact and affect real change? Oh, it's been a fascinating week. I think it's a right step. It just feels a little, like I said, one of the other shows, like kind of like they're half pregnant. They're trying to do the right thing, but there's so many pieces still in place that I don't know. It's complicated. It's tricky.
Troy, when you just look at, you know, John Elway stepping away and all the big decisions that have to be made this offseason, do you think that John just should take a complete back seat to it and let the new GM handle, you know, discussions with Vaughn, Justin Simmons, Shelby Harris, or if he's bringing in a quarterback? Or do you think that, you know, there should be a transition involved in this year where John Elway's helping with those situations, or just John Elway completely step back, you're upstairs now, and that's all that you're doing?
Yeah, it needs to be a consulting role. He cannot be the one making the final decision, or this is not going to work.
Thank you.
Otherwise, this is just a charade. And, you know, given John's age, the way he wants to live his life at this point, I don't think he's going to meddle. Now, it's easier to meddle in the off season than it is during the season when it's a daily grind and, you know, you're supposed to be there every day early and leave late once training camp starts. I don't see it as an issue. In the off season, it's a little different because it's an office job and it's done remotely. And it's just, listen, Elway is the Mount Rushmore of the Denver Broncos in Colorado sports. He will always be. His legacy is secure. For this to have any chance to work, he can have input on those big decisions, no doubt. But a new GM needs to be the one with the loudest voice in the room. Otherwise, why are you bringing in a new fresh set of eyes? To just add somebody to the room? That doesn't make any sense. So the new GM, the new director of pro personnel that will replace Matt Russell, those two guys, to me, need to have the loudest voices. And then they bounce ideas off Elway. And if Elway says, well, I wouldn't do it this way, then they need to go to Joe Ellis and say, listen, you hired me to be the GM, not to be a guy that, you know, is a conduit of information. So, again, it's a little tricky. But if you want the new GM to have a chance, you got to listen to him. And you're not going to like what he has to hear. You know, you're not going to like everything he has to say. I can guarantee you that. You're 5-11 and missed the playoffs by 6 games. So if you really want an independent audit and an independent voice, then this is the way it's got to be. So, Orlando, I would like to sit here and say they're going to do that. I don't know that. It's complicated because you'd literally and figuratively be working in John Elway's shadow.
You know, I made a list last night of all-time Bronco general managers and trying to discern what type of general manager might fit best here based on the people they've had in the past. And you've grown up with the Broncos. You're a lot younger than I am, but you've been around here looking at these things. I know who they don't want. They don't want a Grady Alderman. They don't want a Hein Paulus. They were the GMs when Edgar Kaiser was here. Edgar Kaiser helped make the John Elway deal and will ever and forever be remembered for that. But I don't want the general managers he brought in here because they were powerless. They didn't have anything to do with the operation. I'm not sure I want a Brian Sanders type either. The guy I came up with was Fred Gehrke. I want somebody like Fred Gehrke, who was the vice president general manager over the course of about 16 years, from 65 through 80. I want somebody who has the kind of control and authority that Fred Gehrke had back in the day. What about you?
Yeah, I just want somebody that wants to work 80 hours a week and is willing to make tough decisions. and not, you know, and when I say tough decisions, it's that they're not who they think they are anymore. I mean, this is, they have the second longest playoff drought in the NFL now at 5 years.
That's right.
There needs to be some real sobering analysis of where they are. And they don't use the word rebuild. That's fine. But they are, this is a project for me. So I'd want a GM that every decision we make, if it's between hanging on veteran guy or young developed player, then we're going to take the young guy. Like, we've got to get more, we got to get younger and more athletic, more dynamic on both sides of the ball, and then look up and see where we are in a year. Because trying to just piece this together, it's not working. It's just not. Now, if you found the right quarterback, maybe, you know, quarterbacks, as we know, camouflage more blemishes than Revlon, but they don't have that right now. That's another issue with the GM, is he's got uncertainty at quarterback. You've got an unproven head coach who's 12-20 and hasn't been above 500 in one game of his career.
Right.
I mean, there's just a lot of issues. So, Stan, I just want a guy who loves the grind and is willing to make tough decisions and stay in a lane. This is who we are. This is who we're going to be. And if we look up in a couple years and it didn't work, well, at least we knew we were consistent in every decision we made.
Troy, you just said you got to get younger and more dynamic at some positions, right? And that's what we're hoping that the new GM brings in, a fresh set of eyes that could be just brutally honest with this football team and make the tough decisions where a guy doesn't have now connections or ties with this person. So that's what I'm looking forward to. We all know that the Broncos need to figure out what they're going to do at the quarterback position. We know that, hey, you're going to need some more corners in here as well. But is there any other positions that you could just think of off the top of your head, Troy, where you're saying, hey, you have to get better at this position for the team's success, overall success?
Well, again, it starts at cornerback. You need two. And Bryce Callahan, hopefully he comes back next year. He plays 10 to 12 games. He's never played 16. He's really good when he plays, but you can't count on him to play 16 games.
Never does. Never finishes
a
year.
Never has. So if you're saying he will, then that's just kind of a fool's bet to say, well, he's going to play 16 next year. Okay. Why would you believe that? So I like him. He's a good player. But two corners, Orlando, they've got to get more dynamic at linebacker. I like Avery Johnson and Josie Jewell, but they don't complement each other well. They need one of their inside linebackers needs to be a three down, sideline to sideline guy that can play more off the ball. They play up ball more to try to, you know, protect himself in coverage. I want a linebacker like Danny Trevathan, frankly. They haven't had a guy like Danny since Danny. They need a guy like that. Sideline to sideline, just a warrior who's just can make plays. Brandon Marshall did that some, and then the knee injuries really sabotaged him. But I would say add linebacker. They're going to have to address the right tackle situation. You know, if it's not Juwan James, maybe it is. You're paying him to be the guy, but you got to look there. Offensively, that's where you could argue they are making consistent decisions to be young, dynamic, and need to kind of stay. They have a chance to stay in that lane. Defensively, they need two corners, one defensive lineman, and a linebacker for me. That's where I'd start.
Well, they're interviewing some people today and tomorrow. George Payton, Champ Kelly, Dave Ziegler, Terry Fontenot, Brian Stark. Whoever they end up choosing, put yourself in that position. What do you do at the quarterback position? You stay with Drew Lock? Do you bring in a veteran? Do you draft a rookie? Whatever it takes, whether it's on the first round or not, you draft a rookie. Who, if you draft him in the first round, he's your quarterback. If you draft him with that ninth pick, he's your quarterback. There's no competition. If you draft him on a later round, second, third round, or beyond, maybe he'd be in competition with Locke for the starting job. What would be your disposition if you were the GM coming in here on the quarterback position?
Yeah, if it were me, we'd be rebuilding. And as such, we'd be looking at all avenues to move up to the top three of the draft to take one of the quarterbacks. I'm not ready to say who that would be. It won't be Lawrence.
No, it won't be Lawrence. We know that.
Will it be Zach Wilson, Josh Fields? I mean, would we feel that? That's how I would run it. It's like, I'm rebuilding. This is my team now, my general, and I'm going to find my young quarterback. That's going to buy me 3 years. Problem is, the Broncos don't do things that way. So throw my philosophy out. So my best guess is the GM comes in, He's going to at least ask, are we going to take a big swing at Matthew Stafford? Is that someone we can play on? Or a Dak Prescott, which is unlikely. But are we in that? If they say no because of salary and acquisition price, we're not willing to do that, then I am bringing in a veteran to compete with Locke to protect myself. Someone that could beat him out, like an Andy Dalton, or somebody like Brissett, Minshew, that group, that next tier, that if Locke's struggling, I can bench him and we can still win a game. But I've got to protect myself at the quarterback position with a veteran. Again, if it were me and my team, we would be clearly rebuilding, and we would have 3 years, and I would go find my young quarterback that I'm tied at the hip with and move forward. That's what I would do. But they're not going to do that, and that's fine. I understand there's some optimism with Locke. I hope Locke figures it out. It'd be the best thing that could happen to them. But if a new GM, my guess, Sandy, is it's Locke plus one, plus a veteran that will challenge him and give him real competition.
Troy, I want to give you a couple names and just kind of tell me where you're at with it. You know, we got to see them for 16 games, and that's just basically the whole free agent class last year that was brought in. Graham Glasgow, Melvin Gordon, Shelby Harris, Nick Vinette, Jeff Driscoll, Sam Martin, Devontae Bosby, Joe Jones, Jeremiah Tachu, Joel Heath, and Jacob. I'm not even going to mess up the long snapper's last name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But where are you at? You know, 16 games. You know, did the Broncos win free agency last year?
No, they did not win free agency last year. I mean, Glasgow is better than he showed. He just wasn't as durable as I expected.
He was hurt a lot.
I do wonder if he's a better center than he is a guard.
Yeah.
But I do. I think the COVID messed with him, and then he dealt with an ankle and shoulder.
Right.
He can be a solid player, but he did not live up to his contract. That's just the reality of it. Because he was hurt in part. I mean, and that wasn't part of his history. But I'm not ready to give up on him. But they had, when you look at Jarrell Casey, was just a bust because of injury. Jarrell Casey is a great player. I don't know if he still is, and I would try to keep him. I just can't imagine Jarrell would want to stay in what might be his last contract. He'll probably want to go to a contender. A.J. Boye, they missed, and they swung and missed. I like A.J., good dude. They swung and missed. He just wasn't dynamic enough at corner when he played, and he didn't play enough. What did he play, six games? I mean, so that was a swing and miss. And that's been an issue with free agency for them. It's a lot of money for mediocrity or less. I mean, you're out there bidding, and unfortunately, sometimes against yourself, and you don't end up getting the value you want. And that's why I say when you draft and develop and go young and every decision is made in that regard, that's why I pay Justin Simmons. And it's an easy decision. He's homegrown. He's, you know, Pro Bowl and one-time second-team All-Pro. I pay him because that's my business model. We pay our in-house guys first before we go outside. But, you know, Vinette was okay. You asked. I mean, he was a blocker. He was okay. That tight end position has a chance to be special with Albert Okwuegbunam and Noah Fant. Again, they've got some young offensive weapons I really like. Melvin Gordon, people are all, you know, they rip Melvin Gordon. He averaged 5.3, it ended up, yards per carry over his last eight games.
Yeah, well, the second half of the season, yards. He was terrific. Top 10 running back.
Second half of the season,
top 10 running back.
He was, you know, his DUI arrest, he missed the game for an illness. That got him into the crosshairs of Broncos country, understandably so. But if you just look at the stats, the last eight games, he was your bell cow. He was the running back that Pat Shurmur uses in this offense. That's why it hurts that if he starts next season suspended for three games. Maybe he won't. Maybe that's, you know, he delays the case. Maybe he feels like he has a case and he'll get, you know, that there's a chance that he won't be, you know, convicted or plea or whatever. But they need him next season, the way it's setting up. But it just wasn't enough, Orlando, to answer your question. They took some swings. I liked some of them, but it just wasn't enough. You know, Glasgow, I think, can rebound. I think Gordon could be good, even if it's for 13 games. But, again, this year in free agency, you got to find one corner because you're going to draft one. And you got to look at the linebacking situation. And is a Levante David or somebody like that realistic? You've got to look for me at linebacker and find a dynamic guy because you can't keep piecemealing this. They have too many guys who are role players starting. It doesn't mean they're not decent football players, but there's too many guys miscast. The guys that should be reserves are starting.
Yes.
You know, and guys that are starting aren't playing well enough other than they're just, you know, they're basically keeping the seat warm. And I go back to great Broncos teams I covered with Orlando, back to the 90s when I covered those teams.
Right.
Kayvon Webster, for instance, Orlando. Kayvon Webster couldn't get on the field for the Broncos and ends up being a special teammate. He would have been their best cornerback outside of Callahan
started.
This year.
He would have started.
Yeah, he would have started here.
There's guys on those Super Bowl teams that couldn't get on the field that would have been the best player at their position this year.
Right.
That's why I keep saying there's just not enough talent. I want guys like a Josie Jewell I'd like him to be a role player. He'd be a great role player for me. I don't want him playing every down. And if he does, then the other linebacker with him's got to be sideline to sideline. You can't have two guys that just get tackles and don't make plays in terms
Is Justin Sternad the answer to that, Troy? I know that they were trying to make him into that guy, and you were out there longer at training camp than me and Sandy were because training camp goes during our show. But do you think that Sternad could be that guy?
I think that's a lot to ask. Justin has some of those traits as a hybrid safety linebacker, but he was a late round pick. He's a smart kid, and he would fit the Fangio defense. The way Vic coaches it is kind of the way Justin's mind operates. I just think that's a lot. I would want him to be in the mix, and that's what I'm saying. I'd love to have an athletic guy like that as a backup who plays 15, 20 snaps, comes in, hey, cover this guy this on third down, cover this guy, and then that's his role as he gets better. Not just throw him into the role of sideline to sideline. I don't know that he's ready for that. Now, he might be. I didn't see enough in camp. But I would like, that's the kind of player I'm talking about in terms of the athleticism. But what if you had Labonte David and then that kid was your backup? Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now you got something. Because then Sternad's going to be a star on special teams for me.
Right. Very quickly before we let you go, I take it from what you're saying, you're not excited and intrigued by this Deshaun Watson business. First of all, he's not going anywhere. Second of all, if you want to give up your entire draft for him or whatever, would pull a Mike Ditka, you want to be like the Houston Texans were this year? With the top five quarterback going 4-12?
Yeah, I'll be honest. If there was a guy I was going to push into the table for, because you don't see, I think Steve Young might have been the last great quarterback traded in his prime. But, so this never happened. So it's not realistic. But I would push the chips to the middle of the table for Deshaun Watson. He's in my top five, every conversation. He's a leader on the field, off the field, playmaker, dynamic. I don't like the idea of, just trade everybody. But again, if there were a guy I was going to do it for, it would be a guy
He's
like
a hell
that.
Of a player. He's top five quarterback. I just don't, he's under contract through 2025. They'd get killed on the cap. Houston would. I know they want draft picks. I think he and the new GM will kiss and make up. It doesn't seem
sure
to be anything personal, but
I'm not sure they will. From what I understand, it's very personal. Not with the new GM, but with Easterby.
Well, I understand that because they didn't listen to him. They disrespected him. They lied to him. All the things that happened.
It's very similar, Sandy, to what's gone on with Nolan Arenado and Breidich.
Yeah.
You get told one thing as a star player.
Well, this
and
is
then
the
something
owner.
Else happens,
yeah.
And you're like, what the heck? And then it's like, well, you're a player. Do your job. You're not in charge of personnel. Yes, but you told me you were going to help me be part of the process.
Yeah,
so
and they left him out of the loop. You're right. They lied to him.
Right.
I think those feelings get, if he didn't want to be there, he wouldn't have signed that huge contract. I know things have soured. They've traded Hopkins on him, and he apparently had no say-so in that. He found out along with the rest of us. I know they've lied to him. Organizations do that in all sports. They tell players, we'll seek your advice. He isn't asking that they hired his guy. He just wanted to be kept in the loop, and he wasn't. But on that note, we'll let you go. Troy, thank you. As always, we appreciate it.
Real quick, no first-team All-Pro honors for Justin Simmons.
I just saw that.
Wow.
Simmons had a real case. Bowles, I knew he's probably a year.
Yeah, I think even Simmons was real good this year, but Fitzpatrick and Matthew were better. I think Matthew made the team. I don't know about Fitzpatrick, but Matthew. I thought Matthew, the honey badger in Kansas City, had a better year than Justin did. I don't know if Justin had a top two year, but I think he's top two or three safety, and I think you feel the same way. You got to pay him. Troy Rank, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Thanks as always, Troy.
Yeah, thanks, Troy.